This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
Hello, listener. Thank you for tuning into this podcast where I bring to your ears inspiring conversations with some of the best artists, singers, composers, lyricists. Every week I talk to a musical genius to find out their creative discipline. I am Eva Bhatt and you are listening to 9XM Soundcast from India's leading music channel 9XM. Do subscribe to this podcast on Epilogue Media, your one stop for engaging and entertaining podcasts. I must say, I have spent evenings enjoying Shor Police songs on YouTube on loop, and today we have Shor Police themselves on this podcast. In fact, they have made my lockdown days enjoyable because of their lovely covers and original music. Music composer and singer duo of Shor Police, Clinton Cereo and Bianca Gomes, are here to talk about their music, their creative discipline and their latest track, Jallianwala, in Salim Suleiman's album, Bhoomi 2021. You guys listened to Clinton Cereo in our episode number 13, long time back when we had just launched this podcast, where he spoke in detail about music arrangement and music production. But now in this episode, he's along with the oh so lovely Bianca Gomes. Together, they are Shor Police.
You know, it's so encouraging to hear that, during the lockdown, you guys listen to our stuff.
Yes, absolutely. What a sweet introduction. Thank you so much, Eva.
Thank you. And my husband is such a big fan, of course,
really?
Because he is very much into, heavy metal and rock, and all of that is his, genre. But yes, he's such a huge fan of Bianca Gomes. He has a crush on her. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to talk to her and I'm going to have her. And just so happy to have you, because you guys are just, your covers, even in your covers, the originality, the color that you bring with your sound and your style is just so amazing. So in this episode, we are going to, talk a lot about your indie music and, your independent music. So, starting with Clinton, sir, we spoke a lot about, music arrangement and music production in, your first, appearance on this podcast. But in this episode, let's talk a lot about how Shor Police happened and, and how it has been all these years, how you guys are rocking it.
You want to go first?
Yeah, I think it's just today. In fact, Facebook reminded us that when we did Anjana four years ago, the shoot of Anjana was 4 years ago,
yes,
and it's been quite a ride.
What a coincidence! God. You mentioned that today. Yeah.
So it's been a really nice journey, because I wanted to make that transition. I think from after Madari. I was so well known for being a fusion kind of, composer. And I was actually always a pop guy. I wanted to be, I wanted to explore more the pop side of things.
Right.
And when Bianca and I were working in Anantal, which was again fusion, it struck me that, she has this very strong pop sensibility that would be very interesting to write more in that genre. And that's what led to Shor Police. And we just started as an experiment, and it's just come somehow everything, one thing has led to another, and it seems to be working. The formula seems to be working really well. It's a kind of reinvention of my sound as well. And at the same time, it's kind of bigger than the sum of its parts. It's not something that Bianca would probably do on her own or I would do on my own. So it's been really interesting in that, it's been challenging as well. Because it involves, both of us kind of giving up some of what we maybe have, a strong idea, musical idea, in favor of what the other person would want to express.
Lovely point.
But there is a holistic advantage to that as well, because I think the result sometimes becomes bigger than what you could have imagined.
Imagined. Wow.
And we noticed that in all our music.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when we started working together, it was always me as a singer, just going in and singing a bit of, because we used to work on advertising work also together. He would call me in as a singer. So that's the equation that we had till then.
Right.
But ever since Anantal, things kind of switched around. And I always wondered, I mean, I never ever thought that we would be writing together. We would be composing together. But I think initially when we started, I had a lot of doubts in my mind with how would our styles blend in, you know, because he had a very distinct style and I did too. But I guess, and I always thought to myself, what could I possibly add to this? You know, he's already an established songwriter, composer, everything. But it's exactly like he said, you know, I mean, when you do collaborate with someone, it's what you hear in Shor Police is a perfect combination and a hybrid of both our influences over the years, which are actually quite similar in some ways,
because
we both grew up on Western music. So there are a lot of similarities. So I guess it just sort of happened organically, the way that we came together as composers. And what you hear is I think it's a perfect combination of that, because when people hear it, they don't say it sounds exactly like Clinton Sereo's sound or it sounds completely different. They just say that, you know, it has a bit of both. It sounds like you, but it doesn't sound like you, which means it sounds like me. It sounds like both.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we're really proud of that. We're glad that people are enjoying this new sound.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we, you know, listen to your, you know, that those combinations of songs that, you know, Western, like the English songs, the pop songs and the Bollywood ones and Clinton Sereo, when it comes to, I mean, what do we talk about him? You know, it's not just Western. It's not just this genre. He's the Bap of Bollywood. If you go back to history, I mean, he has ruled, you know, Bollywood, the entire soundscape of it, like, you know, the way he has contributed to you know, the sound of Bollywood, that is an awesome contribution altogether. So I'm sure that, you know, the thing that he brings in to your Shor Police creations is a lot of Bollywood also, you know, that entertainment. He knows the pulse of the audience, and you and your vocals and your, you know, that powerhouse performance, all of that, that blend, as you said, is just so beautiful.
Yeah. I think that
you know, she has a hard job to some extent because of the fact that I'm known to be a composer and producer for so many years, right? So people automatically tend to think, or they tend to assume more, like what would Bianca necessarily add to the table from the composition and arrangement standpoint. But I guess, see, that's the thing about, you know, when you've been a producer, a music producer as long as I have, you have a lot of pet things that you go to, you know, pet arrangement ideas, or there are, you know, things that you don't question.
Yeah, safe zones.
I mean, because of the fact that you're so used to working on deadlines, you're so used to working with time constraints and everything, that you have, everybody forms their pet chord progressions or their pet, you know, rhythm patterns and everything. And the thing is that she has a very strong arrangement and production sensibility, not necessarily from a technical standpoint, not from the fact that she necessarily maybe gets into the very technicalities of it, but she's very instinctive about it. So from a very instinctive place, she's very opinionated about how something can sound better, or how something can, you know, it sounds a little regular or whatever. And then initially I used to be quite defensive about it. I used to be like, you know, how can you say that? I mean, you know, like, I've been doing this for years. Okay. You know, that would be something that I would think in my head.
So honest.
But then I realized that every musician, no matter how big or small, you have a musician's ego, right?
Yeah.
And when you can keep your ego at the door and then come into the studio and say, listen, you know what? Somebody is operating on instinct. She may not necessarily have as much of technical knowledge as I do, But when she's instinctively thinking from a musician's perspective, and she's very musical about it, maybe she has a point here. And then I would actually go back to the drawing board and think about what she said and think, okay, yeah, maybe there's another way to do this. And that sometimes becomes more exciting and more interesting than what I had thought of in the first place, which is pretty invaluable, which is why I said, okay, listen, you know what, let's do more of this, because I'm enjoying the fact that I'm having to unlearn some things that I learned, especially also since music is constantly changing. Yeah. Music is evolving. And she always been this very top 40, you know, she loves the pop sound, the top 40 sound, and she was so informed in that genre, whereas I'm always listening to very eclectic music sometimes. If I'm on the way home from the studio, I'll be listening to classical music or, you know, things that somebody else wouldn't normally listen to, you know, like, but somewhere I was missing that whole slightly pop commercial aspect for a long time because of Coke Studio and because of getting into a slightly eclectic zone. So I felt that this you know, was working with her, and when she would actually, you know, be unsatisfied with stuff, you know, that would actually push me even more.
Yeah.
So that was something that I said, you know what, let's do more of this and let's see where it goes.
Yeah, I think it was highly intimidating when I started composing with Clinton, because I was almost scared to say, I don't like the sound of that drum, or I don't like the sound of that bass, because like, he knows it all. Like, how can I possibly say something that would, how can I contribute to this or make it sound? If I'm going to say I don't like it, I have to figure out a way that it sounds better. It has to be justified, right?
Right.
So initially it took me a while to sort of really come out of that and realize that I had my own ideas and they were valid. And I think that is also the amazing thing about Clinton, is that no matter how much he knows and how much experience he has as a composer, he's still open to new ideas,
right,
and looking at a song in a completely different way. Because there are times where we've written a song and I've felt like, you know, I think this direction is wrong. You know, I think maybe we should look at it like this. And he'll actually be open to that suggestion, you know, and I think that's why Shore Police works.
Yeah,
otherwise, one of us would be dissatisfied and, you know, it would end there. But it works because of that, because we're both open to, I'm also receptive of things that if he feels my idea doesn't work, then I'm receptive of that. You know, I accept that. So, and similarly, you know, with him. So, yeah, I think that's why the...
Wow. So
the proof of the pudding is always in the eating, right? I mean, if you think about it, the proof of the pudding. And it's when you have friends or people who you really respect from the industry, who hear something we've done together and call you up and say, man, this is a new sound even for you. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't sound like you. It sounds like you guys. It sounds different. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And
that's
yeah, it's nice to hear. It's like it's a different take, and it's a reinvention, I would say. You know, it's like it makes it more relevant to a much younger audience. And
fresh.
No one's getting any younger. I'm definitely not getting any younger. All my the gray on my beard proves my point.
Oh my god! Seriously,
I'm not be relevant to a younger audience. You know, that's what I love.
Oh my god! But I'm sure, you know, those jams sessions must be just so amazing, you know. So I would like to, you know, kind of take a sneak peek to all your jam sessions. How are they? And are they full of, you know, all those creative fights and, you know, arguments and all of that? Or how are they? I want to know how many hours of jamming or rehearsals or, you know, all that practice happens, you know, behind, you know, all those beautiful creations that we enjoy on YouTube. But, you know, I'm sure there must be hours of, you know, practice and riyaz, as they say.
Yeah,
please let us know.
If you would ask any creative person how long it takes for them to be creative, there's just no timeline on that, because you can come up with a song in 1 hour, or it could take you like 3 days to come up with something that you're happy with. Because sometimes you come up with things and then you look at it the next day when you come back to the studio and it sounds like crap. You know, you're like, this is just not working. Should we just scrap this? So we've been through that as well. We scrapped the song. We've started from scratch, right?
sometimes. And it's frustrating because especially when there's a deadline, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, for me, that's a new thing, right? Because Clinton has always done advertising and he's always done brand work. So for me, it's a new thing. Oh my God, one day we're doing a brand song. The next day we're doing a commercial. The next day we're trying to write a song for another artist. So
wow.
He's been doing this for like 20 years, but for me, I've always been on the other side where I've just been called in as a singer to sing different styles, right? But to compose and to have to think of, it's very challenging for me because I've never had to write for another singer, right? Or keep someone's scale in mind, someone's sweet spot, you know, male, female, what's good for a male voice, what's good for a female voice. So there's a lot of learning that's going on. For me as well. Yeah.
Beautiful. So you know, please.
I'm saying that we do have a lot of creative conflict, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's helped us both grow in many in different ways, you know, and which is why I don't shy away from it. I would say that I've been through this once before with Hitesh. With Hitesh Sonic, when we've worked together, and I was at those days when I started working with Hitesh, I used to do 25-30 ads a month on my own as a composer. I used to do 6 ads a week in those days, like Mondays, Tuesday, every day I was doing one ad. So suddenly when I started working with Hitesh was this guy who would take time to, you know, think of ideas. Sometimes he would just one afternoon, he wouldn't come up with anything. And he would not want me to come up with anything either. That's the funny thing. So I would be sitting on my machine and I would be like, this is a criminal waste of time. By now, I would have finished an ad.
God.
By now, you know what I mean? Like, but it's the process. So he would have that whole thing of, it has to happen this way.
Yeah.
So I used to have to, you know, have like 5 ideas that were coming into my head at that point and not give a voice to any of them because I wanted him to come up with something.
Wow.
You know, so I would realize that when I would do that, it would sometimes be bigger than what I would think of or what he would think of. And so we went through that phase of course. I mean, you know, we kind of decided, you know, after a certain point that we both had a lot individually to express. So we decided not to take that further. But I've been through that process before where I realized that, you know, it's your own ego that lets you want to do everything independently or, you know, take a song from start to finish. And not that I can't do that. I've done enough of that.
Yeah.
But when you work with someone else who's very strong musically, then that combination of what you can think of and that what that other person can bring to the table can be really exciting and can really keep your own interest in music fresh. So that's what's happening now. My interest in music and in what we're doing is so fresh. I don't feel like I've been doing this for so long. I feel like I'm just learning again because some of the composers and some of the artists that we both like now, people like Zed and all, they're all musicians in their 20s. And they are doing such amazing work that I'm learning every day from just trying to emulate that sound. Wow. Even though I'm, you know, like, you know, I have so much more experience than probably them as well, those artists that I'm trying to emulate.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, lovely, lovely to listen to all of this. And, you know, before we, you know, start talking about, you know, the very, very, you know, amazing creation, Jallianwala for Saleem Suleiman's Bhoomi 2021. You know, we'll talk a lot about that. Before we, you know, get to that, let's just hear some indie creation of yours. If I can request Bianca to sing a couple of lines, Clinton, please, you know, any of your indie creations.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Mana, main tujhse haar gaya. Kaisa bahana jab tune baar pe baa kiya ye tera aana jaana dil ko mere yun jala barqarar hai kyun bolo kisa ye jana bana isse zyada kya batana ikrar main tu baaz na aaya anjana Chalakiyon mein kya maza Oh Anjana, Chingariyon se hai intezaam.
Wow, I think this is just so exclusive. Guys, only on 9XM Soundcast can you, you know, enjoy this absolutely acoustic a cappella version of, you know, Clinton Cereo and Bianca's. Oh my God, I'm so happy. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bianca, for our listeners, you know, so aspiring singers, you know, young, you know, singers, what is the suggestion? What are the tips that you would like to share? Because, you know, your voice has so much, you know, strength and that throw in your voice and the way you can render any, you know, any pitch or any range, you know, of a song. So tell me about, you know, some secrets or some tips that you would like to, you know, give it to our listeners.
It's very disciplined, very disciplined. every gig.
Most singers are.
She's like doing her vocal exercises. In the room before she starts.
Locking the room in.
Yeah.
So no one can go to a room before a gig because she's busy with her vocal exercises.
That's with a lot of singers actually.
And,
most singers.
The least disciplined of them all.
Yeah. He's the kind of singer that doesn't need any vocal exercises. He just sounds like great all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the only reason. It has nothing to do with discipline. But I mean, I would have to say that these days, everyone wants to sing, and everyone, the music industry is so glamorous, and you know, everyone wants to make videos and do all that stuff. But I feel because of social media, people are always looking for shortcuts to do things.
Right.
You know, they just put out a video of anything. And I feel that it's very hard these days to find good quality stuff. There is, yes, there's a lot of music out there. There's a lot of new original music out there. Lots of new artists, some of which are great. But I feel there's also a whole bunch that is putting out stuff that might just not be their best. Yeah, might not be their best. It kind of sometimes gets into the mediocre bracket. And I feel that's because people are so focused on views and just getting their visual content out that they don't seem to take enough time to work on their skill, to work on their, whether it's their voices or whether they play an instrument. And I think that's that should be your primary focus. And also while writing a song, it should just be a beautiful melody on its own. You should concentrate on just the basic fundamental things like that, you know. And also in terms of voices, I feel for me, what's always worked is just trying to figure out what your own voice is instead of trying to sound like someone that's famous or trying to put in something in your voice that you think sounds good, but it might not suit your voice. So just realizing where you sound best in, whether it's your range or whatever, just finding your sweet spot. I think that's very important. And then, you know, writing something that comes from the heart, something that's honest, that's also really important instead of just writing for the heck of writing.
Wow, lovely, lovely. And let's hear it from the, you know, like never disciplined Clinton
Cereo,
the bit lazy, but... You know, sort of, you know, Clinton's the image that he has created for himself is that I'm too laid back, but we know what happens in the groove room, right? We know what happens in that secret den of his.
He's magic, just magic.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, Clinton, you know, I must just tell you right now that, you know, whenever we, you know, had, you know, other music arrangers on the show, Sunny MR and a couple of them, when I told them that, you know, we have had Clinton Cereo, and the way, you know, they, all of them, they feel for him is something, you know, rare and something so, you know, amazing. Like, you know, I must say that he enjoys that exclusive, that the respect that he enjoys is something because of his work, of course, and the way, the kind of person he is. So Clinton, you spill your beans and you tell me that, you know, what are the secrets, you know, how do you manage to, you know, still, you know, come up with, you know, some of the best sounds, and how do you do that?
I think I kind of equated to, you know, whenever you're doing a shoot, all the makeup people say, sir, aapka skin bahut acha hai, skin bahut acha hai. You know, like, aap kuch lete ho kya, kuch karte ho kya skin? So I said, yeah, I mean, my skin is great. I know I have, yeah, I eat pani puri, I eat kebabs, you know, I eat all this trash, you know. So that's the thing. That's my general, my whole, the indiscipline permeates to every aspect of my life.
Absolutely. I mean,
so that's the thing. But I guess, yeah, so for me, I don't do any vocal exercises, nothing. I mean, I just guess, but at the same time, I would say that I've armed myself with knowledge over the years. You know, that I've done. I've done enough homework before I even entered. Like, I would say, before I did my first job as a, you know, music producer or whatever, I did at least 300 songs in my own way when I was trying to cover other artists like Stevie Wonder or, right, you know, Trevor Horn or whatever. Right. I would just be sitting at home trying to emulate the same sound that I heard on a record. You know, all those things are very, very important. So I guess it's an extension of what Bianca said about the skill. What is your skill set? What do you want to bring to the table? You know, are you going to just bring those million views that you supposedly have on Instagram or on YouTube or whatever, on, you know, your influencer status? Or are you going to bring something real to the table?
Something long-lasting and everlasting, yeah.
Evergreen. I mean, memorable. Something it's, memorable,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, half of the influencers today, tomorrow, you won't even remember their names.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've had such a long career in and I'm not going anywhere in a hurry. You know, similarly, someone like Salim,
right,
you know, he may be an influencer as well because, but he's seen it all. You know, yeah. I mean, he's an influencer from the genuine perspective.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
not like just an influencer because of the numbers.
Yeah.
He's Salim. Somebody who deserves to be an influencer. That's yeah. it. That's the difference. So you have to first deserve to be an influencer, then yeah. become an influencer by all means. But first have the knowledge that will make you a khatarnak influencer, not just an influencer.
Yeah. Rightly said.
And he also has the quality content to back it up.
Yeah.
Right. His music is always, it's timeless, like you said.
Timeless. Right? Wow.
So that's I have nothing against the internet.
Yeah,
I have nothing
absolutely.
Against people who want to get really famous really quick.
Yeah.
But that's not going to last.
Yeah. It just,
you have to realize that there's going to be a flash in the pan and people won't remember your name 2 years later.
Wow.
Or they may remember your name, but not for the right reasons.
Wow, yeah. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, you know, these are such helpful, you know, tips and, you know, suggestions. And, you know, talking about Bhumi 2021, like, you know, we at Nanaxam Soundcast, we did a special series, you know, during Bhumi 2020, and Salim Suleiman, both of them have graced this podcast, I think, twice, thrice on the show. And it's just been so memorable always. They are just amazing. There are no words for Salim sir and Suleiman sir. So, you know, let's first talk how exciting it was when you guys were, you know, sort of invited by them to be a part of Bhumi 2020-2021.
Yeah, absolutely. It was such an honor to be asked to be part of that project because we had heard last year's Bhumi music and it was so extraordinary, so we had a lot to live up to. And but we did want to keep in mind the new sound that this Bhumi had because
yeah.
it was distinctly different from
yeah.
last year's
yeah.
So we wanted to, it was world music in a way but electronic, and that sort of fit in perfectly with our sound because
right.
our music is electro pop, and we wanted to keep that in mind while writing the song. So we came up with an idea, and first of all, Salim gave us a completely blank canvas. He
oh.
said, just write whatever you want. This is your baby. I don't have anything to do with this. So,
and we wanted to keep it, I think, also different and definitely for it to have a sound and a stamp of Shol Police and what we are as a pop duo.
Right.
And because Bhumi is essentially a fusion project.
Right.
I didn't want it to have a kind of I wanted to have the same intensity for sure, but not necessarily sonically be the same soundscape as something that I've done. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be Chol Police and our identity, which is very pop and pop electronic, needed to be definitely something that, you know, even melodically, I wanted to have a very strong pop identity, even in terms of melody. And I think that's what we really managed to achieve. And that's what really hit home when Salim came to the studio and he heard, the song, and we didn't have any lyrics at that point. We didn't have any subject matter. And Bianca was just singing, literally, you know, sitting next to him and singing the basic melody that we had come up with.
Because when we come up with a tune, sorry to interrupt you, but when we come up with a tune, sometimes we put random words to that, whatever we feel phonetically comes to us at that point. So,
I've just had words like survive and alive, you know, things like that, which were a little intense. And that's when Salim said, guys, we should make this about something, intense. The intensity that this melody has.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about, are you familiar with the Jallianwala Bagh massacre?
Yeah.
Let's make it about that. And we Googled it, and the Jallianwala Bagh massacre happened on the 13th of April, which happens to be my birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's quite we were like, wow, that's so crazy, that fact. And so Salim said, guys, this is a sign from above. You guys should do this. Let's try and, try and see if that subject it makes sense to you all.
Yeah.
And
again, it was not forced. It was just, I feel like this is how I'm feeling with what you've played me. With just the gist of the sketch of the song, this is what he was feeling. So he said, you do what you want with that thought. If you feel that it won't work, it's completely, like, we had full freedom.
Right. And exactly, it's exactly that. It also kind of, to some extent, worried us a bit, because I think we had this melodic idea that was very pop. So we were just going to think of a regular subject, not necessarily something so intense and something so historic. So suddenly there was a responsibility on our shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, that if we are going to be doing this, we better do justice to the
justice
to the intensity and the magnanimity. You know, like
the grave. It's a grave.
This event is in our history, you know.
Absolutely.
So then we were out of town. I think we were in Delhi or something on a gig, and we had, exactly like this. We were just waiting for some check, and we said, you know what? Let's try and spend some time trying to come up with these lyrics. And in that one afternoon, we managed to write all the English lyrics, and we were really feeling good about it. It felt really intense to us. And then just sent a draft to Salim as well, and Salim saw it and he's saying, wow, it's really powerful, guys. I love it. So you guys should continue the direction. And that's when IP Singh came in, and IP Singh wrote something in the Punjabi, idiom that was so, so beautiful and so descriptive of the event that it completely came, it just came together then after that.
Yeah, and we always had the idea that we wanted Harshdeep on this collaboration. So, and way before we even thought of the massacre. So when the lyrics came in, it was just perfect because she's Punjabi, and it would just work.
Yeah.
It was so honest for her also.
Yeah.
Right. And so emotional. So everything that you, everything that you see, even in the video, is so real, because every single pass that we did of that song on the stage was so heartfelt.
Yes.
And we meant every single word. It was so powerful.
I'm sure the and it has it's resonating with us also, when we are receiving it, when we are consuming it, the feelings it is invoking, and it's goosebumps because of the, of course, the production of it and all of that, but at the same time, as you said, the lyrics are so intense, real, and straight from the heart, and it's just making us realize you know, it's not just painful. At the same time, it is also kind of, it's filling us with that strength also somewhere. I don't know, the kind of mixed emotions that it is, bringing up. And, Jallianwala, the entire subject, and then you, and then Shor Police, and then we have Harshdeep and Salim Suleiman, of course, IP Singh, all of you, the way, this has come, it's too special, it is really a very special creation. And, one of the most, cherishable, products of yours, I'm sure, down the lane, when you guys will look back, Jallianwala will always remain as absolutely one of the most special.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's exactly how we wanted people to receive it. And also, I think way after we wrote the song, there was a stir in the whole, there was a buzz.
Also because of the whole, the issue that cropped up again.
And at that point, I remember thinking,
Swanand Kirkiri went to Jallianwala Bagh and tweeted from there. I mean, I think it did a video from there. And lots of things happened.
There was a lot of buzz.
Then also Sardar Udham again. Sardar Udham. And again the Jallianwala thing. And the funny thing is that we composed this before all this.
Way before. And I remember Salim also messaging us and saying, oh my God, will you look at what's happening right now? Because we didn't want people to think that we had written this after everything happened, because we truly didn't. Yeah. It just so happened.
Yeah.
To be the timing of things. Right. But it was at the time that we wrote it, we just sort of reimagined all the events and the place it was coming from was very real.
I think you guys have just done justice as musicians to this this historic event, but I'm sure guys do check out Jallianwala, Salim Suleiman's Bhumi 2021. They've got Shor Police this time, and what a masterpiece they have created. And I'm sure the divine blessings are there already on this particular, it's not just a song, just another song. So great, congratulations for this. I don't know how you guys managed to do this, because it brings tears, and what else can it do? Music is so powerful, and how do you guys manage to do this? It requires a lot of courage to even create something like this and sing it again and again. I mean, hats off. Oh my God. And thank you so much.
That is the whole, it is the whole objective of why we do what we do. It is to move people. It is to make people feel something. And anything that you write, if it doesn't touch one person, then you've not really done your job.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much for all the time you guys are already, preparing for your gig in Indore, right? So all the best for that. And, we are always looking forward to, more of Shor Police. So guys, till then, enjoy all the lovely, lovely, songs of Shor Police on their YouTube channel. Give them all your love, and we love you, Clinton Sereo and Bianca Gomes. It was just our pleasure to have you on this podcast.
Thank you so much. This has been so wonderful. Such a lovely afternoon.
It's been amazing. Thank you. Always a pleasure. It was lovely the first time, and happy to be here again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And it's heartening and lovely. Thank you so much, guys.
Hi, we are Shor Police, and this goes out to all the viewers of 9XM. Hi guys, you just heard us on the podcast.
Make sure you follow 9XM Soundcast for inspiring stories of musicians.
I think there is always a lot to learn from a master like Clinton Sereo. While talking about Shor Police, you could understand how even at this stage and age, he's enjoying the process of unlearning and learning. He's open to ideas and feedback. He accepts that he may not be very disciplined, but I think his creative discipline does reflect in his so many years of hard work. Numerous projects in Bollywood, the advertisement world, and independent space. the fact that he believes in evolving and moving ahead with time. While Bianca, I think she nailed it when she spoke about how social media may sometimes blur your vision, your focus to better your art, your craft, and may pull you into its web of hits and likes. So if you have wondered how does she manage to sing like that, you know it's a lot of discipline, hard work, you know, those vocal exercises she spoke about behind those powerhouse performances. Guys, please do let me know how you guys are enjoying this podcast, how you guys enjoyed this episode. I am absolutely loving, you know, talking to these amazing artists every week and, you know, learning from them. So do let me know, write to me, DM me on my Instagram handle at Eva Bhatt Podcast or on the official 9XM handle, that is at 9XM India on Instagram. Write to us, you know, give us your feedback, and every week you can listen to a new artist on this podcast. Do subscribe to the podcast. Thank you.